You're listening to The Point. We are talking about our favorite books of 2013 with Jill Erickson, reference librarian at Falmouth Public Library, and Melanie Lowers, books editor at the Cape Cod Times. All right, Melanie, what's next on the list?
Okay, another very powerful novel that I think is getting a lot of buzz already and may very well end up on some lists next year, whatever. A Constellation of Vital Phenomena, Anthony Mara.
Great title.
Isn't it? I mean, that was one of the things that drew me in. It's a debut novel, and he's a previous Pushcart and Writing Award, and he was long-listed for the National Book Award, but I think the book is going to pick up more traction as it goes along, because I think it's one of those things where, you know, if you say to somebody, I'm reading a novel about Chechnya, their first thought is, why would you do that? But this novel is set in Chechnya from 1994 to 2004, a 10-year period in which there was I don't know enough about this, which is why I wanted to read the book. Mm-hmm. A first Chechen war and a second Chechen war. And all I do know is that in the last 10 or 20 years or so, some very bad things have come out of Chechnya, too. The Chechens, in general, are very angry. So I went into this thinking that I would learn more about that. But it's so much more than that. And it's set in a village outside of a city in which there is very little left. People remember what was there, parks and buildings and schools. But really what's left is a hospital, 90% of which is closed. And it has one doctor. And to that hospital is brought some people who are in various stages of survivability, of surviving this war. And there's an 8-year-old girl and an Arab man and the doctor herself, Dr. Sonia Rabina. And what we don't know is her sister, Natasha. She doesn't know what's happened to her, and we don't either. And we only find out later on. And the little girl's father, and then Ramzan, an informant who informs to the Russians. And it's absolutely beautifully written. And at the very beginning, this is the opening of chapter one, on the morning after the feds burned down her house and took her father, Hava woke from dreams of sea anemones. While the girl dressed, Ahmed, who hadn't slept at all, paced outside the bedroom door, watching the sky brighten on the other side of the window glass. The rising sun had never before made him feel late. When she emerged from the bedroom, looking older than her 8 years, he took her suitcase, and she followed him out the front door. He had led the girl to the middle of the street before he raised his eyes to what had been her house. Hava, we should go, he said, but neither moved. The snow softened around their boots as they stared across the street to the wide patch of flattened ash. A few orange embers hissed in pools of gray snow, but all else was char. Not 7 years earlier, Ahmed had helped Dalka build an addition so the girl would have a room of her own. He had drawn the blueprints and chopped the hardwood and cut it into boards and turned it into a room. And when Dalka had promised to help him build an addition of his own, should he ever have a child, Ahmed had thanked his friend and walked home, the knot in his throat unraveling into a sob when the door closed behind him. And these are about relationships that transcend religion, but to which religion has been brought in. Mm. And one gets a very good sense of how this war brought itself together. Mm. Beautifully written.
Yeah. What about you, Jill? You got another one?
I do have another one. And this is one of those books, a novel, that I have to say, why one likes a novel or doesn't like a novel is a very interesting question. And I adored this novel, but I am telling you, it is not going to be for everybody. It is not a novel
about plot. We love those warnings.
Yeah. It is not a novel about plot. And I was trying to think, what is this novel? It's called, first of all, the title alone, An Impenetrable Screen of Purest Sky is the title, which is actually a quote I've discovered from an Emerson lecture. Mm. And so one of the things I loved about this book was it then got me reading Emerson, which I have not read. And it's a novel by Dan Beachy Quick. Now, Dan Beachy Quick is actually a poet, and this is a very poetic novel. And I was trying to think, how can I explain what this book is about? Now, there is some plot. It's not that there's completely void of plot. There is a story. There is a man. There is a man whose name is Daniel. there are poems within it. Dan Beachy Quick is a poet above all. This is his first novel. And so I put together a list of what this novel is about. And if you like this list, you will love this book if you don't avoid it. The list goes like this: whales, apples, butterflies, footprints, pearls, mirrors, memory, grief, death, fairy tales, Moby Dick, and Proust.
Oh, who would like that list, right?
And he, one of the things he talks about, and he's, believe me, Dan Beachy Quick is a very, is possessed by Moby Dick. And you can see that in this novel and in other things he's written.
I know someone else who is too in this room.
Yeah.
Oh, two of you, okay.
Well, between the Proust, well, let me tell you, one of the things in this novel that absolutely made me go crazy, and I was so excited, I like wanted to tell everybody, there is a character in here who actually is playing the Ventoy sonatas from Proust, which of course are fictional, but in this book, they're real. It's like so exciting. And then bad things happen after that. Yeah. But one of the things, one of the great quotes in this book is, you don't read a book, you put your arms around it and it saves you.
Oh.
And if you're that kind of person, you know, who loves that kind of sentence, this is great. And it's about writing and beauty. And again, it is very poetic and it is all about language. Mm-hmm. And there is a, as I say, there's absolutely a plot in this novel, but that I was not reading it for the plot. Yeah. There, okay. It was for the richness of the language.
All right. Melanie, what have you got next?
Well, two books that I read this year that I absolutely loved. And again, these aren't going to be for everybody either, but they're fun and they're page turners and they're totally outside.
Love
the
page turner.
They're totally outside the usual genre. The Last Policeman and Countdown City, which was written this spring. And they are the first two books of a planned trilogy. I believe the third one is coming out next year, and then apparently we're going to run out of time. And the reason is Ben H. Winters is the author, an Edgar Award winner, and these are pre-apocalyptic fiction.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know me. If the word apocalyptic's in it, I'm
there.
Right there. And but this is pre-apocalyptic fiction in which the world has a date set and knows that an asteroid is coming. And Detective Henry Hank Pallas remains at his desk solving murders, sorting out the disappearances from the random suicides, and I don't mean that in any way, you know, short, from the true murders to impart a kind of justice on people who, even though their fates have been sealed, are finding a lack of justice at the end. Mm-hmm. And he decides he will stay at his desk in Concord, New Hampshire, which I thought was really kind of interesting.
Right, yeah.
That's not where Ben lives. Ben lives somewhere else. He lives in Indianapolis. Mm-hmm. But he has an interesting website. There's a lot of people on it. And, you know, it's kind of funny. These people are under, all the characters are under an enormous strain because they know what's coming. Mm-hmm. And in fact, this one sentence is, everybody hear the news? We've got the date, as Detective McGully, big and boisterous, hands cupped together into a megaphone. What do you mean we've got the date, says Detective Andreas, popping up from his chair, looking at McGully with open mouth bafflement. We already have the date. Everybody knows the GD date. The date that everybody knows is October 3rd, 6 months and 11 days from today, when a 6.5 kilometer diameter ball of carbon and silicates will collide with the Earth. Not the date the big meatball makes landfall, says McGully, brandishing a copy of the Concord Monitor. The date the geniuses tell us where it's going to hit. And the whole conversation is like this through the whole thing. They've had, like, I think the first one, The Last Policeman is 6 months out. Countdown City is 3 months out. Mm. And so I'm assuming that when we get to the last novels, there's a little bit of effort before Lights Out.
Wow.
And Ben Winters is one of the guys who gave us some of those, like, Jane Austen, Sense and Sensibility, and Sea Monsters, which I did not find particularly impressive and did not bring home. But yet, if you can mimic somebody that well, that shows you've got a certain degree of talent. Well, here he's really in fine form. Mm-hmm. And these are delightful, hard to say comic novels, but they are. pre-apocalyptic comic novels. I don't know where I find these things.
I don't either.
Yeah. She just shakes her head.
All right, Jill, what have you got?
Well, I actually have a couple reference books with me because, you know, being a reference librarian, I always have. And being somebody who's always trying to help somebody find a good book to read.
That's your job.
This is a really fabulous thing called The Novel Cure, From Abandonment to Zestlessness, 750 51 books to cure what ails you. This is sort of like the paintings Eliot's with novels. Ella Bertold and Susan Elderkin. The one caveat, and I seem to have a caveat in every book today, but the one caveat on this is that the first book I went to look for was had been published in England, was out of print, and I couldn't get a copy. Mm. So I was not happy about this because the two authors are indeed English. But it is also great, great fun. As they say in their intro, this is a medical handbook with a difference. First of all, it does not discriminate between emotional pain and physical pain. You're as likely to find a cure within these pages for a broken heart as a broken leg. And what they do is it's an alphabetical list of all the things that might be your reading ailment that you might want help with. So it can be you can look under jet lag or job, hating yours, or jam, being in A, and they tell you what novels might be good to read. They also have this in the back, a 10 best lists index. So they include the 10 best audiobooks, but then they also have the 10 best audiobooks for road rage.
You have,
wow. And they have, 10 best novels for 80 somethings, for 50 somethings. It's just a really fun book and has a whole lot of other books that you might want to read after you go through this one. So I highly recommend the novel
Cure. You said you had
two
references.
We have, other book that I brought along is A Reader's Book of Days by Tom Nisley. True tales from the lives and works of writers for every day of the year. This is actually calendar structure. And what he has done is gone through both fiction and nonfiction. And if he finds some date in a novel, he will mention it. And so, or if he found he was reading people's authors' letters and what they were doing on a particular day. So for December 25th, 1956 is the date. This is a great entry. Kept from going home to Alabama for Christmas by her job as an airline ticket agent, Harper Lee spent the holiday in New York with Broadway songwriter Michael Brown and his wife Joy, close friends she had met through Truman Capote. Because Lee didn't have much money, they had agreed to exchange inexpensive gifts. But when they woke on Christmas morning, the Browns presented her with an envelope containing this note. You have 1 year off from your job to write whatever you please. Merry Christmas. Giving the humbling gift of paper, pen, and privacy, Lee quit her job and set to work, and by the end of February, she had written a couple of hundred pages of a manuscript that was first called Go Set a Watchman, then Atticus, and finally, To Kill a Mockingbird. So lots of great literary history
in here. That sounds like
a
cool book.
Yeah, very fun.
All right, a couple minutes left, Melanie. What have you got?
Okay, I'm going to recommend Almost Anything by Jennifer Hay, who grew up in Western Pennsylvania but now lives in the Boston area, and she's out and about all over Eastern Massachusetts doing readings and signings and things like that. I first came to her books in 2008, a book called The Condition, which I think got her a little bit more notice than she had. And then I went on in 2011 and read a book called Faith, which I would highly recommend. It's an entirely different look at the sexual abuse, priest conflict in Boston. You won't expect what happens in this book. And then I found Baker Towers. And I think this is the book that's probably going to set her going. And Baker Towers tells the story about an old coal town in Western Pennsylvania called Bakerton. And it's of all the different characters in the town and that kind of thing. People who want to go away, people who get to go away. And sometimes things don't work out any better outside of Bakerton than they thought. And this year she has issued a series of short stories called News from Heaven, which catches up with all the characters from Bakerton. So I highly recommend her writing. She's a very, very good writer.
Less than a minute, but I want to mention Lisa Genova, her latest book, Love, Anthony. Did you read that?
Yes.
Did you read it? I love her. I mean, she started with, Still Alice was her first book.
Which is going to be a movie.
It's going to be a movie. She's a neuroscientist by trade, so she takes her scientific knowledge. And, I mean, really, she's sort of created this genre in her unto herself, hasn't she?
Yes, she has.
Yeah, and I know she's working on another book now. I always look forward to it. So anything, as you're saying, anything by Jennifer, I would say also anything by Lisa Genova. Mm-hmm. And for those of you who've been listening and saying, oh, my gosh, I didn't catch all those books. We always put a link up to the list on our website, capeandislands.org, so you can catch it there. And now, just real quickly going forward, name and title of what you're reading now.
Right now I'm reading George Packer, The Unwinding, An Inner History of New America.
What are you reading?
And I am still reading S, which is the book that has all the pieces because there are about six novels within the one novel, and really enjoying all of the mysteries with it.
All right. And I'm reading one of Mary Malloy's mysteries, which I can't remember. There's just like three of them. I can't remember what the title is right now, but I've read one of
them.
There's
a new one coming out.
Yes.
Yes, I have it.
I just read that one. That was great. All right. It was our favorite books of 2013. I'm Indy Todd. Thanks for listening.
Amy Vins produces The Point, with assistance from Jenny Junker. The executive producer is Mindy Todd. Music by Benjamin Verdery and William Coulter. The Point is a production of the Cape and Islands NPR stations, a service of WGBH.